Or to say you're getting on my nerves, and I've even heard people say I only got one nerve left, and you stepping on that one. Or to say you're driving me crazy. Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. And today we're talking in one of the health series messages that Pastor received from the Lord, that this is a health series Sunday. So I'm going to follow in line with those instructions. And just to let you know, I had prepared a message today, did a lot of health research and had some good stuff for you concerning health today. But how many of you know that God can scrap your plans? If any of you all ever had something planned and what you're going to do, and when it got time to do it, God said, no, no, not those plans, and he just scrapped all of that. So after I got through writing it out, he just scrapped that message. So about 2 weeks ago, I went with my family out to Panama City Beach, Florida, and a couple of days after being on the beach, there was really nothing troubling my heart. Nothing on my mind. I went to bed at a normal hour, but about 2:30 in the morning, I was awakened and just felt the strong urge to go and pray. So I went out. We had a balcony on the beach there. And I went out on the beach and began to pray and worship God. And a few minutes into it, as I was looking out over the ocean, there was nobody on the beach that time of morning, and looking at the waves just come in, and it's like the waves just came in off the Spirit and began to wash me. And I sat there and tears began to fall. And I can tell you, I'm not a very emotional man. I'm an engineer by training, but I couldn't control the emotion that came over me. It was a spirit of penitence. And I hadn't done anything that was bothering me, but I just began to weep. And for about 5 minutes straight, I was giving only one line of prayer that was coming out of me. And it was, create in me, Lord, a clean heart. Just over and over for 5 minutes as I was weeping, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Create in me. And I began to just confess everything that I've done wrong in my life. And he just birthed something in me and washed some things out of me. And when I got back to bed an hour later, I knew as I lay there that the message that he had for me to deliver to you today, I speak from the subject of a clean heart. And this message, actually, at the time, I didn't know what C. Elijah would be preaching in his series. It actually ties in hand with what the Spirit has given him to preach on. And that's having a heart that longs after God. So it go back and listen to his messages, because these things tie hand in hand. And I tell you, some people will never get the longing after God that they need, the passion that they need, until some mess is pulled out of their heart from the world stuff. So it goes hand in hand with what he's teaching. It also ties in to what Pastor preached on last Sunday, dealing with a blessing is on the way. Because some of your blessing is held up because of the condition of your heart. And when blessings come, whether they be money or power or other things, these things tend to amplify whatever's in your heart. You give somebody with a cruel heart a pile of money, and it amplifies whatever they are. You give somebody with a giving heart, who's giving with the little that they have, a lot of money, it amplifies it, and they give bigger. So before he magnifies a thing, he wants to cleanse some things out of you before the blessing can come through. So tie this in with C. Elijah's series and with what God is speaking through Pastor in this hour. Proverbs 17:22 from the NIV says, you don't have to turn there. It says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 18:14 says, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? And these are just two of the scriptures that relate the condition of your heart to your actual physical health. Christian counselors, they report that 50% of people who come in for counseling have problems dealing with anger. From our experience in marriage counseling, sessions that deal with marriage, they even are higher than that number. It's something like when two people get together, that you see that anger increase. And love has left so many marriages nowadays because of impure hearts. And even if you can't see eye to eye on an issue, if you have a purity of heart, it'll keep your voice tone normal. It'll keep you from saying things that'll be hurtful to them. You can still talk about things you disagree with, but if your heart is pure, then you'll be able to do it without just saying anything and being hurtful. But if the heart is not pure, when you get mad, you'll say things that'll scar a person for life. You'll abuse them and all type of things. When your temper flares, if the heart is impure, things will flow out of the heart that you never can put back together. So this has a lot of different purposes. And I tell you, the tongue is a mighty weapon, and out of the abundance of the heart does it speak. Happy marriage extends life by years, according to studies, and even owning a pet increases life expectancy and lowers blood pressure, cholesterol, and doctor visits. The key to all of these is having love in the heart. Love in the heart produces several hormones that are found, actually, they have beneficial properties on the body. First one is dopamine. This is also called the pleasure chemical. It provides feelings of enjoyment, bliss, and euphoria. It also plays an important role in cardiovascular, renal, hormonal, and the central nervous system. Second one is oxytocin. This counteracts the effect of cortisol, the stress hormone. It's known as nature's antidepressant and anti-anxiety hormone. By easing stress, oxytocin helps to heal countless diseases related to stress. It is also related to weight gain. So sometimes you may be tempted to tell your spouse, "Hey, are you causing this on my hips and spread?" Science does have something to back that up. The next one is vasopressin. It regulates kidney function. Next one is endorphins. Endorphins have a variety of health benefits, including stress reduction, improved immune system, and decreased pain perception. And you might not understand all of these scientific terms and biological hormones, but if you've ever had a newborn baby and that baby was sleeping, lie on your chest above your heart, all of you can relate to a feeling you get in your heart that you can almost just feel your heart squeeze. And you may not know what all is going on in your body's processes, but you know there's a feeling there that wasn't there before as this newborn baby sleeps on you. You've never had a child, you can think back to your first falling in love in life, and there was a feeling that you got in your heart, that it wasn't just a psychological, like you could just feel your heart actually squeezing. Anybody ever been through that? You could feel something physically going on in your heart. But those were these hormones, and there was something that was going on that does the body good in there. And I tell you, you fall in love, you don't even have to eat. It doesn't matter what's on the plate. And some of y'all, after you've been married a few years, then you, well, I'm going to leave that alone. I might get somebody in trouble here. But there's something that happens when the heart is filled with love that does your body good, that increases your longevity. And there's an old adage about unforgiveness, and it says unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping that your enemy will die. Let me read that again. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping your enemy will die. Just like love releases positive health-producing hormones, anger produces negative hormones. The main one is noradrenaline. And when you release the anger hormone, your body experiences the fight or flight response to prime you up for the fight or to prepare to flee. It's a matter of personal survival that's built into your DNA. The physiological changes that result from a noradrenaline release are astounding. First of all, the blood pressure jumps way up. The heart rate goes up. That's why some of you say, you got my blood boiling. Blood gets thicker, stickier, and clottier. And we all know what that leads to. That hormone turns off the immune and the gastrointestinal systems. The fear hormone is adrenaline and produces similar physiological changes as the anger hormone. In addition to the anger symptoms that I just mentioned, you also get a marked tremor. So you'll see people nervous and they start shaking with fear. And you also have the urge to eliminate. With both of these responses of anger and fear, you can lose up to 80% of your intellectual ability. And it's no wonder when people get mad, they say, I'm about to lose my mind up in here. And even in extreme cases of anger, somebody come in and catch somebody cheating with their spouse, even the courts will validate cases of what they call temporary insanity. With all of these physiological consequences of being angry or fearful, you can see why the Bible instructs us to be slow to anger and to have faith. And it not only helps your spirit, but improves the health of your physical being. A lot of these things God put in the Word, He didn't explain all of the science behind it. But as technology has grown, science is even now able to verify things that are in the Word that were written thousands of years ago, that God, who created this body, who created this universe, knew and understood when He put it in His Word. People can unconsciously feel negative emotions in the heart, causing physical damage. The first thing out of their mouth when somebody does something to them is say, you make me what? Sick. Exactly. Or they say, you're getting on my nerves. And I've even heard people say, I only got one nerve left and you stepping on that one. Or they say, you're driving me crazy. And even with fear, people say, this thing is about to worry me to what? Death. See, you all know it. Most of you have said these things. And even though you might not have understood the science behind it, it's something about your unconscious mind knew that it was releasing something in you, leading to death and to illness. Not only do you have these physical consequences related to health and the natural, but even divine healing is blocked by unforgiveness. My brother Bishop Dale, he told us about an experience when he was operating in his healing gift, and he went to go and pray in the hospital for a member of the church. And as he was praying over this member, he wasn't really feeling a release, so he stepped back a minute and asked God, Lord, what do I need to do here? And God said, don't pray for this person. Tell them to forgive so-and-so, and I will heal them. And unforgiveness had set up a sickness in the body that even the anointing couldn't get through until the heart was cleansed of this feeling that it was having for another person. I've even known a case where pastor here has gone, and he's gone to somebody on their deathbed, and he's prayed unto God, and God said, don't pray for him with hands. He said, tell them to forgive this person and to say it out loud 7 times a day. And he went back, and they weren't getting any better. He said, well, did you do it? And she started going on about what the person had done to him, and he knew it wasn't out of her heart, and she passed not long after that. So even though we have God heals here at the church, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it puts a brick wall up between the hand and with the anointing in it and the power of God in your heart. So this is a very serious issue, even when it comes down to healing. And so many times we wonder, why can't we get healed? Oh, Lord, I know it's by your stripes I'm healed. We're wondering why, even when we're believing it, we can't get healed. But I've come here today to cause mankind to examine the contents of their heart. And Matthew 6:14 and 15 says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So if this thing can, your forgiving somebody else can affect your getting forgiven off of your stuff, think about it. Jesus, he died on the cross. His blood was for your sins, but also his stripes was for your healing. So if your sins forgiving can be blocked by you not forgiving somebody else, imagine those stripes with the healing, what it can also block in a corresponding manner. So this is serious business. Heart disease is the number one killer in the natural. And I believe the natural is just a manifestation of what exists in the spirit realm. And we as Christians have too much spiritual cholesterol and plaque built up in our hearts. Psalms 51, this is David. He said in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 16 says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And sometimes we get so busy trying to give God sacrifices. We hear so much preaching on money, and sometimes we want to bring first fruits and tithes down. And Jesus said, you ought to do these things, but they're little. These are the little things of the law. But the big things are in the heart that no man can see. And he said, even with unforgiveness with your brother, even you shouldn't even bring your offering now. You ought to go out and get that thing right in your heart with your brother first before you bring it. We can get caught up on the wrong things. But I tell you, God looketh and is concerned about your heart, even more than your money, because when he has your heart, he has your money. He's more concerned about your heart than your time. When he has your heart, he has your time. You don't have to worry about it. He's more concerned about your heart than anything, and even your relationships, because he knows that you'll treat people right in your relationships. When he has your heart, he's concerned with your heart this day, and he sent me here to tell you. And I tell you, I've gotten up more than that one night. He's been troubling me at night with this message. I've been carrying it like a baby. I'm glad I'm delivering it to you all so he can trouble you all at night. Let you all say a song with it. But I've got to get it out of me. Matthew 5 and 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I believe this is talking even more than even when we get to heaven. Yes, we will see him there. But I believe when that heart becomes pure, we wonder why the miracles have left the church and why healing and the anointing doesn't fall like it used to. Why we don't see the glory cloud like the old revival days. But if you look in the heart of man, something has changed. We're too concerned with material matters and things of this world. If the heart is right, I tell you, you'll once again see God move as you once did with the early church. You'll see God when the heart becomes pure. And I tell you, when the heart is pure, it's like everything in your world. It'll make the world look better. If you're around pure people, they'll see positive in every situation, even when it's negative. They'll say, well, it's going to be all right. God is just using this as a stepping stone. He's using it for experience. And the opposite is true. If that heart is not pure, you'll find people that are in palaces that will find things to complain about. They can be in the finest of houses, driving Mercedes Benzes with money in the bank, but they're still in every situation. They can go on vacation, complain about their room. They can go anywhere, come to church and complain about the temperature in the church. When the heart is pure, the world will look pure unto you. But when the heart is corrupt, everything and anything will look corrupt unto you. Matthew 6 and 22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body will be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I believe this ties into what I just talked about, that heart is like a lens. You can look at it like a glass lens or spectacles over your eyes. And when that lens is dirty, everything looks dirty. And you'll look at the world, no matter how clean a room is, you'll look at it with dirty spectacles on and say, somebody need to clean up around here. And you could have just vacuumed the floor. But when that lens is clean, it will make colors brighter. It will make everything clear, and vision will be clear. My mother has always understood this principle of having a clean heart, and she's always purged herself whenever something has gotten in her heart. And there have been many occasions that she stood up in public and repented to people in front of other people. Now, we may repent to God, but most of us are not going to stand up in front of other people and look the person in the face. But I've seen her do it to relatives, to friends. I've even saw one time at a pastor's appreciation, she got up and got the microphone and told the pastor, looked him in the eye, said, I want to repent. I said some things about you behind your back that I should not have. How many people do you know get up and tell a pastor that at the pastor's appreciation? And it caused people to come from everywhere to say and come and repent to the pastor. But she's understood that her heart was more valuable than how she looked and her reputation in front of people. She wanted to be right with the one who created the heart. And I tell you, the cleaner your heart gets, the more sensitive it will become, much like the body. And my mother's heart is so sensitive. One time she was at a convention and they were serving lunch, and she was doing something, and her sister and her friend had gotten in line for lunch, and she came later and joined them. Can you believe the Lord troubled her heart at night to say, you broke those folk in line coming to join your sister? And she had to find them the next day and apologize to her. That's how sensitive her heart. But because of that sensitive heart, God has been able to birth four ministers of the gospel through that wound that connects. The Bible says David had a heart after God. And let me show you just one instance of why it says that. And as they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David, 2 Samuel 6 says, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house. When he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more dignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And David understood that how he looked, even as a king above all of the land, that his heart was what mattered to God. And he basically said, woman, you didn't put me in this office, woman. God chose me for a reason. And he knew what kind of heart I had. He knew what I would do when victory would come. He knew I was a praiser. He knew I was a dancer before he ever anointed me to be king. And it showed his heart. And that same woman that complained to that king says in verse 23, and Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. That talking about that clean heart shut up her womb. And like the pure heart opened my mother's womb to ministry, the closed heart shut Michal's womb. So be careful with your heart. God is more concerned with the position of your heart than the position on your job, than the position in society that you may hold, than even your position in the church. And I tell you, I would rather be on a back pew with an humble and a clean heart serving and worshiping God with all of my heart than I would to be a bishop over five churches running around speaking every Sunday to five different places. I believe God is more concerned with your heart. But we as humans, sometimes we get caught up in titles. We get caught up in positions. We'll sit up in the church looking dignified and more worried about who sat in our seat versus what's seated on the inside of us. We'll look at a name tag with a title and a badge and be more concerned about that on the jacket than we are what lies underneath the name badge that God is looking at. So we've got to be so careful with our judgments and with our heart condition. Proverbs 4:23 says to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is like a garden. With a garden, you have to weed out weeds ever so often, or they'll come in and choke out your flowers that you've planted. They'll choke out roses and daisies. They'll even choke out grass, and weeds will grow up. You have to be careful what you allow to plant there, because even a small seed of offense can grow into a giant tree. I tell you, you can get a small thing, somebody will say something to you the wrong way, and you're not paying any attention, and the devil allow that thing to churn in your mind over and over and over. They disrespected you. They had no business telling you that. If you're not careful and guard your heart, that thing can grow. It can be the smallest of a sentence, and it'll grow and be like a vine, and it'll wrap. You've seen vines grow over the years and wrap around a building, and that's how the devil can use these seeds of offense to come in and to pollute the heart and grow them into trees of bitterness. On the other hand, a little bit of love can show somebody headed to hell their loving God that has forgiveness in his hand. Well, I'm out of time. I thank you here watching us for Brothers of the Word. You can go to Air Jesus and listen to message 40, 30 in its entirety. And just be sure to guard your heart today. God has sent me here as his messenger, as I've given you the heart of God, that you may examine thine own self. I thank you for watching Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the Word. Tell you, even as we talked about the anointing movie, you know, if you've got an olive, and that's traditionally what people lay hands on, if olive oil, do you know none of that oil comes out without being crushed? And it's not until you squeeze it that the oil flows. And sometimes God has to squeeze your heart, put you in situations where you have to seek him and let go of things in order for his anointing to flow. And even I talked about my mother and how her heart is, and how unforgiveness can keep you from getting your healing, keep you from getting your blessing. Another testimony is she had a condition called mitral valve prolapse from her child, and it's something that you get genetically. She was born with it. And because she constantly purified her heart, and this is a malformation of one of the major valves of the heart, because she would examine her own heart, pluck out anything that shouldn't be there. She kept doing it through the years. And one day, God spoke and said, I've healed your heart of mitral valve prolapse. No man ever had to lay a hand on her. No oil had to be applied. He healed it from the inside once all of the impurities was out. Sickness had no place there. I tell you, if you just get the heart right, God can work miracles in your life. And right now, I ask you to close your eyes and open your hearts as you listen to my words. Man looketh at the outside, but God looketh at the heart. The company Pastor and myself own has the best detox on the market. It's our number one selling product. It's called The Cleaner. But I'm not here to talk to you today about that or physical detox. I'm here to talk about spiritual detox. And yes, it is recommended that you take a physical detox several times a year. It is recommended that you take a spiritual detox frequently. And I was sent here today to tell you about a cleaner. In the movies, after a murder happens and it gets messy, they call in this man who they call the cleaner to clean up the mess and remove any trace of what wrong has been done there. Well, that's the way it is in the spiritual. After we've made a mess, we need the real cleaner to come in to clean up our mess, to leave no trace for nobody else to know what wrong has been done there. And as I talk about this, as you feel today, God tugging on your heart, just come at any time. And this is not a normal altar call today. This is not going to be for salvation. But even if you're already saved and are sure of your salvation, this is for those that know you need to do a heart detox today, just as he did in my heart on the beach. So as I talk, if you feel him moving in your heart, just come and kneel at the altar as you will. This is for a heart cleaning today. And I've heard older folks talk about the mourner's bench. And I'm too young to know anything about that. I've never seen it in church. But I'm not too old to know that God can turn these steps that we have into a mourner's bench. That he can move right here with what they have if the heart is right. And tears commonly flow during this purging process, almost like a washing of the heart from the inside out. Science have even shown that negative hormones and toxins are released in our tears as they exit the body. That's one reason that you feel better after crying and stress is lower. There have been things that we've done in our lives that we've said, I'm taking this to the grave with me. And I'm here to tell you that God doesn't want you to take some of these things to the grave. You have to be careful with that statement, because I can tell you, some of them things you think you're taking to the grave can go with you beyond the grave that are housed in the heart. And this is a private talk session now between you and God. And you just confess in your own heart to your Creator right now. Whatever is on your heart, right there privately where you are. Jesus, he said that we must be like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know, children, they'll fight, and 5 minutes later, they're back all right with each other. Jesus was the quickest forgiver that I've ever heard of. Even after men got through putting nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorn and piercing him in the side, slapping him and spitting on him and calling him all manner of things. Soon as they finished with it, he looked up. As soon as they finished, and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Jesus can forgive, what about us for the little things that people have done for us? You may have been lied on by somebody. Figure it's in the past, but come now and confess it to the Lord and get it out today. You may have had an abortion in your younger years that you carry in your heart that nobody knows about, and it still worries you sometimes. Come and get it out before the Lord now. You may have cheated sexually on a spouse that you figure no one will ever find out about. Someone could have even sinned against you, and you're carrying it in the back of your heart. You could have been molested at a young age and never really totally got free of it. Come and get it out. It could be gossip that's in your heart. It could be lust. It could be sex outside of marriage. It could be homosexuality. It could be pornography. You could just not be speaking to a parent or a sibling or an old friend because of offensive words that hurt your feelings. Come and get it out right now. It might be greed, jealousy, pride, gluttony, gossip, envy, uncontrolled anger, hatred, discord, unforgiveness, laziness, disobedience, hesitation to do the will of God, murmuring, complaining, apathy. We rebuke it all right now in the name of Jesus and command it to go. It might be hurt from a divorce or bad relationship. It might be abuse that has been done verbally or physically unto you. Molestation. It might be unbelief. It might be an addiction to alcohol or a drug that you just can't seem to shake on your own accord.
Yeah.
It might be you might have gone to a psychic long ago and had consultations and had things attached unto you. Might be foreign religions that you partaken in into your mind. Whatever it is, God can remove it today if you will let it go. You can be free of it today. You may have lost a child or a loved one, and you could even be holding something against even God himself. Say, Lord, why did you take them from me? Doesn't seem like it was their time to go. I cry out to you, even as John the Baptist cried in the wilderness and said, repent ye. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is looking for a bride without a spot or blemish. We've got to get these things out of our hearts. He can't take us into the next level that he has in vision before us until he gets us right from the inside. And even my two-year-old daughter on yesterday, she fell and hurt herself. And I picked her up in my arms and she was crying. And as I picked her up and held her and just told her how much I love her, she stopped crying within a few seconds. And I tell you, God can be that father for you today, that even if he has you in his arms, and all of the hurt, all of the tears, all of the pain that has been done to you, wrapped in the arms of the Father, it'll all be all right. And this may be our extended service today, because I believe God needs some time to get some of these things weren't put in quickly, and they're not going to be quick to get out, as things have been released, oh Father, from the hearts, that you'll take it as a sacrifice, oh Father, and that you'll build upon, oh Lord, these pure hearts, oh Lord, that kneel before you right now, oh Father. I pray, oh Lord, that you'll take this purity, oh Lord, and expand it, oh Father. I pray, oh Lord, for a spirit of repentance, oh Lord, to go out, oh Lord, throughout the entire body of Christ, oh Lord. That consciousness will be restored, oh Lord, even where they've been seared, oh Lord. I pray for you to massage stony hearts, oh Father. Make them new again, oh Lord, and sensitive unto you. Lord, we rebuke every spirit, oh Lord, that has tried to hold things in the heart, oh Lord, that don't want people to turn things loose, oh Lord, that has been lodged there for 10 and 20, 30 years, oh Lord. We rebuke them right now in the name of Jesus, oh Lord. I cover your people, oh Lord, under the blood of Jesus right now, oh Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you continue to help them remove, oh Lord, anything that they may be struggling with, oh Lord. And I pray that you give them a watchful eye, oh Lord. That you give them sharp consciousness, oh Lord, to guard their hearts, oh Lord, from this day forward, oh Father. And we thank you, Lord, for just what you're doing in this time, oh Lord, in this season, oh Lord, in this ministry, oh Father. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all of the glory and all of the honor, oh Lord, for it is thee that doeth the thing, oh Lord. We thank you. Amen.
Your amazing grace. Thank you.